Please turn your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. As we continue to look at touching the untouchable, the Lord Jesus Christ can touch the untouchable. Amen. And Matthew chapter 9. Again, we are so proud of these students making this commitment and to the families who have made this commitment. You know, a church is only as strong as the families. Amen. So we're so grateful for the families that we have and the families who are striving to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve Him, to honor Him in their homes and in their families. This morning we're looking at the two blind men that the Lord Jesus touched. And I know you stood several times, but if you can and will, would you stand for the reading of God's Word this morning? Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 27. Then Jesus departed from there. Two blind men followed Him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when He had come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to Him, "Yes, Lord." Then He touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about Him in all that country. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your precious Word. And Lord, may we not be like the crowd just seeking a touch of physical healing from You and then not serve You. But Lord, may we be touched by You continually so that we can live godly in this world. Thank You for these students who are desiring to live godly. Thank You for these families who are making this commitment. And Lord, may we as a church, Lord, be like these two blind men. We just can't keep something this good to ourselves. We want to spread the gospel. Lord, we thank You for even the missions that we are able to give to. And we give You praise for all of this. Please, Lord, speak through this servant. I'm nothing without You. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, the two blind men. You know, Jesus did touch blind men through the Gospels. Some He spit in dirt and made mud and anointed their eyes. Some He simply touched. And, you know, can't you see the first church split? Can't you see these blind men talking to one? Well, Jesus touched me and I can see. Well, how did He touch you? Well, He just simply touched and said, "According to your faith, let it be." Then the other blind men will say, "Well, He made spit and spit in dirt and touched me, and I had to look and saw men walking as trees, and he touched me again, and finally I could see clearly." So there was a church split. Jesus touched them differently. There was the mudites and then the touchites. The first church split occurred. These two men, Jesus simply touched. And they were blind, and you see the two blind men in their condition. It was just a horrible condition because in biblical times they could not support themselves. They had to literally beg for monetary gain, and they had to beg for help. And they were just in a horrible, horrible condition as blind men. I knew two blind men as children, as a child, in United Baptist Church in Nebo, Louisiana, where my daddy pastored. We had two blind men. They traveled around. They played the piano. They sang, and they gave their testimony. And I remember them staying in our home and spending the night with us during that time. And, you know, I was a young boy, and I watched them. They couldn't see, and how these two brothers helped each other. They both were blind, and yet they continued to serve the Lord Jesus even though they were physically blind. And I remember as a young boy, after meeting them and just admiring their testimony for the Lord Jesus, I remember as a young boy closing my eyes and trying to go a few moments without being able to see. My sister and I even pretended that we were blind and we would lead each other around and she'd close her eyes and I'd lead her into a wall. By accident, of course. But I pretended to be blind to see how it was like. And it just would be an awful thing not to be able to see. It's even worse to be spiritual blind. You see, their physical condition can also show us a spiritual condition. To be blind spiritually would be more awful. You'd be worse off than to be blind physically. You see, it's a spiritual condition also to be spiritually blind. Just turn over there to chapter 15 of Matthew. Jesus is speaking to religious leaders, to very religious people. And he tells them in verse 14, speaking of these very religious people, he said, "Let them alone. They are blind, leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." See, that's a spiritual condition. It is spiritual ignorance. It is unbelief to be spiritually blind. Sometimes we can be spiritually blind and just go on feelings instead of faith. Remember the story of Isaac and his two sons, Jacob and Esau? Jacob stole the blessing. He and his mother devised a plan, and he put goat skin on his arms. And when he went in to his father, Isaac said, "It sounds like Jacob talking, but it feels like Esau." And he blessed the wrong son. He was deceived. So you can be deceived in spiritual blindness. We cannot go on feelings. Yes, feelings is a great part of it. I like to feel good. I like to be happy in Jesus. Amen? But if that's all we have, we can be blind, leaders of the blind. We must stay in the light of God's Word. If it is not lined up with God's Word, then you are spiritually blind. You are deceived if it is not according to the Word of God. Amen? You'll fall into a ditch. It may be even a feel-good type thing. It feels like Esau, but it sounds like Jacob. Oh, that sounds good, or that feels good, but it don't sound right. You see, blind leaders of the blind. It is a spiritual condition also. To be spiritually blind, I liken it unto sitting around a fire outside. And that wind, you're staring at the fire. I love to stare at a fire and listen to it and just daydream into a fire. But when that wind blows around, and there I am looking and trying my best to look at the light, that smoke blows into your eye and it hurts and you can't even see anymore. You see, to really see the goodness and the grace and mercy of God, you must look at God through Jesus Christ. Everything else is just smoke. It doesn't last. So blindness is a physical condition. They were physically blind. But blindness is also a very, very severe spiritual condition. And you must have the light of Jesus. In verse 28, Jesus asked them, "Do you believe?" When he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we believe." You see, what you believe matters. How you believe matters. It is more than having a sincere religion. You can be religious and be the blind leading the blind, and y'all fall into the ditch. What you believe matters. How you believe matters. Again, we must stay in the light of God's Word because it does matter. Even within our Christian faith, our Christian relationship with a holy God, there's two types of faith. There's the initial faith of saving and believing in Jesus, and believing that Jesus will forgive me of my sins, and believing that He is the Messiah, the Anointed One of God, believing that He is the Savior of the world, believing that His death on the cross was my substitutionary death, that I deserve to die spiritually, and yet He took my sins upon the cross, and I believe that, and I trust in Him, and believe to the saving of my soul. That's saving faith. Then there's living faith. After I'm saved, my faith is in Jesus to live the Christian life. And James said it like this: "You believe in God, you do well, but the devils do that. But I will show you my faith by how I will live. And I will live godly in an ungodly world. I will show you my faith by demonstrating my faith by good works," which means living godly in an ungodly world. I can only do that in Christ. That's demonstrating faith. That's called my faith's alive. It's living faith. It's living faith. So Jesus asked them, "Do you believe?" And He said, "According to your faith." According to your faith. So I want to ask you the question this morning: do you believe? Do you believe to the saving of your soul? If you believe to the saving of your soul, then live for Him. Have a living faith. Show this world that you belong to Jesus, that you have a relationship with Him by how you live. Do you believe? Do you believe the gospel, the good news? Do you believe God's Word? Write this down. This is good. Ready? Will you trade spiritual blindness to focusing on Jesus? Will you trade spiritual blindness to putting your eyes on Jesus and be steadfast in the faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? You do not have faith in God unless your faith is in Jesus, the author, which means the beginner of it, and the finisher of our faith. So will you trade spiritual blindness, walking around in the darkness apart from Christ and the light of God's Word, will you trade that to putting your eyes and your focus in your life in a relationship with Jesus? Will you do that? According to your faith, let it be. According to your faith. What you believe matters, and how you believe matters. According to your faith, let it be. So do you believe? Jesus asked. In verse 29, we see the light of God in person touched them according to their faith. It says, "And He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you." So He touched them. Have you ever been touched by Jesus? the light of God in person. Jesus is the very image of the Godhead. He was God in the flesh. To see God, you must look at Jesus. God is a spirit. We must worship Him in spirit and truth. The physical being of God is Jesus Christ. God in the flesh. God tabernacled in the flesh. And that light of God in person touched them according to their faith. And only the light, which is Jesus, can reach into darkness and bring healing, as He brought healing to them. Only the light of God, which is Jesus, can reach into a dark soul and bring healing, to overcome addictions, to overcome emotional problems, to overcome the darkness of this world. Only the light of God can do that. Only Jesus can do it. And only the light, Jesus, can reach into a person that is dead and trespasses and sins. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you're dead spiritually and trespasses and sins. And by His grace, you cannot save yourself, but by His grace and mercy, by trusting in Him, the light of God can only touch a dead person and bring it to life. You think you can bring yourself to life spiritually apart from Christ? You are deceived. You are spiritually blind today. Oh, you need Jesus. Only the light of God in person can touch and bring to life someone dead in trespasses and sin. Turn with me to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verses 22 and 23. Isn't it great? We can read the end of the book. It's all going to be okay. All this stuff we're seeing today, someday we're going to be okay. We're going to be with Him. Amen. Listen to what it says in Revelation 21, 22. But I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Jesus is the light. When we are in eternity forever to be with Him, Jesus will be our light. He is the light of the world. In Him there is no darkness. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. It says, this is the message we have heard from Him, speaking of Jesus, and declare to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice or live the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, if we say that we're righteous apart from Christ Jesus, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Are you in the light today? Has the light of God touched your heart? Has the light of God touched your soul and spirit? Does the light shine in you and through you? Are you in the light of God? You see, He is the one who walks in the midst of the candlesticks. He is the one that is the light of the world. He is the one that is the day star. He is the bright and morning star. Jesus is the light that you need. He's the bright morning star. When we're in heaven, He's going to be the light. So that's the light you need right now. Amen. Last night we were outside. It was the super moon last night. Who saw that? It won't happen again for another 20 years unless Jesus comes back. We won't see that again for another 20 years. Super moon. I could see the craters in the moon. It was so close and bright. We were taking pictures. I had a flashlight where I could shine on Rebecca and the kids and where I could kind of illuminate them a little bit. Had the moon in the background, and we were taking pictures at night in the dark with the big moon up there. It was great. It was awesome to see such a big moon and the brightness of the moon, the super moon. This morning, you may have gotten up before me, but when I got up and finally got a cup of coffee in me and I looked out the window, it was cloudy. But the sun had come up, and it was cloudy though. Even though it was cloudy this morning, when I looked out my window, nothing, even the super moon, did not compare to the sunlight. That bright and morning star, the sun. And scriptures refer to Jesus Christ. A metaphor of Him is the day star, the bright and morning star, which is the sunlight. Nothing that man can make or do will ever compare to that big old ball out there shining right now. That is even brighter than the moon on a cloudy day. I don't care how super the moon was. Nothing compared to the sun this morning. Please listen. Nothing compares to Jesus. Man-made religion won't hack it. Man-made rituals and ceremonies just won't do it. Being religious won't do it. Being a Southern Baptist won't do it. You need Jesus. You need to live for Jesus. That's the light that we need. He touched those blinded eyes and they could see. He will touch you spiritually and give you spiritual life and spiritual eyes. We have God's Word in which we can read, and His Holy Spirit illuminates this Bible for us so that we can live for Him. We need the touch of Jesus. We need the touch of Jesus. Will you trade in spiritual blindness and trade it for a relationship? Trade it for focusing on Jesus in this life. Will you do it? I'll be here to help anybody or pray with anybody this morning. Nothing compares to Jesus. Nothing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your precious Word. And God, I thank You for salvation. Nothing that I could have conjured up, but by Your grace and love and mercy, You've touched me. And I praise You for it. Oh God, may we tend to eternal things. And Lord, may we stay focused on You, Jesus, the light. The Lamb is the light. And in You there's no darkness. May we seek You, Jesus, Your light, for Your glory. Amen.